Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, welcome to the Ordained Chaplains Podcast. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society University, and this is the work of the chaplain, class lesson number 74. The simple purpose of this podcast is to help those who are interested and serving others through chaplaincy, pastoring, coaching, and counseling, to learn the basics of this profession, this ministry. Our work of the chaplain passage for this episode is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25, which says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Our work of the chaplain quote for this episode is from Dr. Tim Challies. He said, "We need accountability. Left to our own devices, we will soon devise or succumb to all kinds of evil. As Christians, we know that we need other believers to hold us accountable to the standards of Holy Scripture. Passages such as Ecclesiastes 4:12 remind us that a threefold cord is not quickly broken. The Holy Bible tells us that iron sharpens iron in Proverbs 27:17. And that we are to stir up one another to love and to good works, encouraging one another, according to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. Life is far too difficult, and we are far too sinful, and may I add, too wicked, to live in solitude. We need community. We need each other. We need accountability. And God has anticipated our need by giving us the local church as the primary means of this accountability. Yes, even in the plague pandemic, when you are not supposed to go to the building, and you don't have to go to the building, we can assemble together in our homes and thank God for the technology that God has wrought through his geniuses. Back to Tim Challies. "God has helped me understand that accountability is closely tied to visibility, and that personal holiness will not come through anonymity, but through deep and personal relationships with my brothers and sisters in the local church. And so I have sought to make myself more visible, that I may accept correction and rebuke when necessary. At the same time, I have renewed my commitment to the one who is always watching and who knows every word I write and every intention of my heart." Beloved, this is in this podcast, we are going through the fine book, The Work of the Chaplain by Dr. Naomi K. Paget and Dr. Janet R. McCormick. Our topic today is Chapter 10, Keeping the Chaplain Accountable, Part 2, Ecclesiastical Accountability. Chaplains do not minister in a vacuum. They are members of a specific religious body and group, and are affiliated with a denomination or other faith group. In most cases, they are endorsed by their faith group to the institution in which they are providing ministry. As a representative of their religious faith and endorsing body, chaplains are held accountable for their beliefs and religious practices. When the chaplain's actions and words conflict with the teachings of the faith group, various forms of discipline may occur. The confrontation may be as simple as a meeting to discuss and advise, or it may be as severe as excommunication or revocation of the endorsement to chaplain ministry. In the Christian church, some denominations provide a pastoral review committee that meets with the chaplain on a regular basis for support, evaluation, and review. Similar accountability and support structures are present among other faith groups as well. Proactive accountability is much healthier than ultimatums, censures, or reprimands. All chaplains must honor God and obey the tenets of their faith, and yea, especially the Word of God. Professional accountability. Some chaplains are members of professional organizations, such as the Association of Professional Chaplains, the National Association of Catholic Chaplains, or the American Association of Christian Counselors. Each of these organizations has a code of ethics for chaplains and other member professionals. Membership or certification by these organizations requires the chaplain to support or endorse their mission and principles and to agree to abide by those standards. Chaplains are held accountable by these organizations through their membership and by participating in various activities within the organization. Some professional organizations require an associate membership period during which chaplains are mentored or supervised. Some provide continuing education opportunities on the national and local levels to improve skills, provide experiential learning, or develop knowledge in new or focus areas. Some provide peer reviews that offer consultation and counsel from peers in the field of chaplaincy. Others provide an avenue for networking, career assessment, and personal therapy. Professional organizations provide healthy accountability for chaplains while encouraging spiritual growth, professional advancement, and academic instruction. Ladies and gentlemen, let's pray. Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you so much for our time together. And Lord, we pray that you'll help us to continue to grow and be all that you want us to be as we branch out and serve as chaplains, serve as coaches, serve as counselors, serve as pastors, and help us to be a help and an encouragement to the people and a point of sharing the gospel with those who are lost. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And now, beloved, if you have come across this podcast by chance and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, allow me to show you how you can be saved from sin and from the punishment of sin, which is hell, even today. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws, God's commandments. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." That includes you and me and the Pope and everybody else. Secondly, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin. It's called death and eternal hell. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Third, accept the fact, dear friend, that you are on the road to hell if you have never trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ said in Matthew 10:28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible states in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable, mean and hateful and cruel and wicked people, and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and all idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Now this is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. Pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, and he will. You have God's word on it. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Trust Christ today as your Savior. I guarantee you that if you pray to him right now, he will save your soul. Follow me in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I've done wrong in my life and that I have broken your commandments and that I deserve hell, eternal hell. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. Have mercy and grace upon me. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, I believe that he died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to repent of my sins past and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name, I pray, and for his sake, amen. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind these reasons. Dear friend, until next time, please keep in mind what you've learned in this lesson. Use it for the glory of God and to help others along this road called life, for the glory of God.